ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय First times of Guru Nishingadev, the prelude that we set up yesterday, I mean the day before yesterday, was about the divine and demoniac natures. And the exemplification here, Prahlad Maharaj, his character, versus Hiranyakashipu as the demon, the greatest of the demons. The greatest of the devotees versus against the greatest of the demons. One is a materialistic, another is a spiritualist. How the force of material nature is trying to contradict the spiritual nature, and how spiritual nature overtakes, overpowers the demoniac nature. Means besides the inferior energy, Krishna's superior energy is there. Even though it is all pervasive, it's everywhere. And it is the one that sustains the inferior energy. Yet, people of envious nature, means completely opposite nature, whether they are completely in maya of external energy or not, regardless, we get a kind of a controversial image, a completely different mesmerizing or bewildering image in front of us. But the knowledge about the spiritual nature that is emanating from the Supreme Lord Himself, coming down in the sensation, is equally powerful to eradicate all the ignorance of illusion that has been created by the inferior energy. So this is a war between the spiritual energy versus inferior energy. This is a war between a devotee and a demon. This is the war between Krishna consciousness and Maya, Bahira. It's actually, they are all Krishna's energy. Source is Krishna. But yet, who takes whose side? That is the only difference. If we choose to take the side of Maya, then we'll be casted as demons. But the position of a devotee, even though he is succumbed to the nature of Bahiran energy, yet the soul is so confirmed and steadfast in commitment to his surrender to the Supreme Lord. This is a very unique position of a devotee. No other, either demigod or demon, can surpass this position of a demon. And Prahlad Maharaj will prove by his example that he is the leader of the demigods. So, it's a very interesting topic that we are embarking on. So, we saw how the demoniac nature was acting and how Lord Krishna is desiring his pure devotee to come to confront all this illusion, however powerful Hiranyakashipu got it, or the power of illusion, power of mind, to become immortal. He got all the benedictions from them. So, we see that Hiranyakashipu got all the benedictions. And how are they going to be calculated or estimated in reality? Narad Muni continued, Lord Brahma was very much satisfied by Hiranyakashipu's austerities, which were difficult to perform. Therefore, when solicited for benedictions, he indeed granted them, although they were rarely to be achieved. And Lord Brahma is pleased with Hiranyakashipu's austerity, and because Hiranyakashipu was his son, and the sense that Brahma is Pitamaha, is the Prajapati, Hiranyakashipu, so he wants to be a little impartial and pleased by the austerity without knowing the intention of Hiranyakashipu. So Brahma says, "Oh Hiranyakashipu, these benedictions which you have asked are difficult to obtain for most men. Nonetheless, my son, I shall grant you them, although they are generally not available." They are generally not available. And Prabhupada writes a very good purport to those who are seeking blessings from others. Watch out. What kind of blessings one must ask? Prabhupada writes in the purport, material benedictions are not always exactly worthy of being called benedictions. If one possesses more and more, a benediction itself may become a curse. For just as achieving material opulence in this material world requires great strength and endeavor, maintaining it also requires great endeavor. Lord Brahma informed Hiranyakashipu that although he was ready to offer him whatever he has asked, the result of the benediction would be very difficult for Hiranyakashipu to maintain. However materialist one may be, we have so many examples in the world that even by previous karma, or they may have accumulated so much pious activity by which they were materially so opulent that they were number one wealthiest man once upon a time, it did not last. Rather, that wealth became the cause of his death. It's a power, material energy, the benedictions, the immaterial opulence itself is Krishna's energy. It is very powerful. A tiny living entity, how much he can absorb or control. It's false ego that can take him up to the level of the position of the Lord himself. So every living entity has more or less an inclination to lord it over whatever they saw, whatever they can grab, to possess. But it is not beneficial in any circumstances for anyone to have material opulence. Brahma had promised and he wanted to grant all the benedictions. The word durlabhan indicates that one should not take benedictions one cannot enjoy peacefully. One must be contented with whatever one has received. If we are unable to enjoy the benedictions which we have asked, it is going to become burden. It's not easy to get away with Maya in any circumstances. So those who are inclined to become materially happy, watch out. Happiness has lurking distress hidden behind. Actually, the so-called source of happiness is the source of misery, not of happiness. Yehi sanspasha jatogan dukkha yonaya devate. Whatever the sense gratification are the sources of misery. Because of their temporary nature, the sober person does not dwell in the subject of sense gratification or acquisition. For what? So, a demoniac person, in spite of acquiring all the opulences possible to obtain in this verse, continues to become envious, to continue enmity with Lord Vishnu. That is the first character. That however, he may have a desire to become Lord and Master of the entire material universe, even though he is not. But that inclination continues his animosity with Lord Vishnu. So in the furtherance of the Hiranyakashipu's acquisition, we are told that those who are seeking benedictions from the demigods, the worship of demigods, demigods themselves remain in fear of the demons. So if a person who is worshipping demigod to get benediction, what kind of benediction he is going to get? Those who are remaining in fear. You know, Kashyapu terrorized the entire Indraloka, the whole Swargaloka, except the three chief, Brahma, Vishnu and Mahesh, did not worship him. But Hiranyakashipu made all others, yes, including Indra. And we also heard last time that even pure devotees like Narad Muni were also serving. So, basically or fundamentally, the worshipper of demigods, how, in what mood that they will give benediction to their worshippers? Demigods themselves are fearful. So, in fear if they give, you can see the quality of benediction. It's better knowing which, that all the benedictions are granted by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one has to approach directly. Now, we see in this chapter that demigods are out of fear, take shelter of Lord Vishnu. They pray for their protection first, and then pray for re-establishing, for their functionality to carry out the function of the maintenance of the material world on behalf of Lord Vishnu. So, why not the worshipper of the demigods also follow them and worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead instead in the first place? If you go to a person who is fearful of his own position and power, that the demons can even take away, what is the necessity to go to them? Go to the Supreme Person directly, surrender to him, and become subservient and ask for benediction. It's better. Akama va sarva kamaihi moksha kama udarvi tivrena bhakti yogena yajati purusham varam. So, we should not look for such benedictions that they are going to become troublesome. Prabhupada writes that asuras sometimes become so powerful that they can engage even Narad Muni and similar devotees in their service.
And Narad Muni doesn't mind. Narad Muni doesn't mind. Why? Because he is in a transcendental position. He knows exactly what is the situation, what is the position of a devotee. He can work for the demon. It's not that he's forced to, but he is willing on consideration that it is the desire of the Lord. That's why. Let me do the devotional service amongst the demons. So that does not mean that Narada was subordinate to Hiranyakashipu. Sometimes, however, it so happens that in this material world, the great personalities, even the great devotee, can also be controlled by asuras. But they are always surrendered soul to Lord Krishna. And they take opportune moment to strike with the greatest weapon of the absolute knowledge. And this is how Krishna is planning to smash the greatest materialistic power of a demon in this history with a very sharp show of absolute knowledge from Prahlad. Prahlad was equipped with this. We further see that Hiranyakashipu, even acquiring so much power, he was still dissatisfied. The cause of his dissatisfaction was displeasure of Vishnu. While the opposite principle on devotional service is that Savai Punjam Karo Dharmo Yato Bhakti Radokshaje Ahai Kuti Aprati Yayatma Sukhasi. If a person worship the transcendental Lord with pure devotional service which is unmotivated and uninterrupted, then the self will be satisfied. This was totally absent even after acquisition of the whole worldly power. All materialist power were bestowed upon him. But we see that in spite of achieving the power to control in all directions and in spite of enjoying all types of dear sense gratifications as much as possible, Hiranyakashipu was dissatisfied because instead of controlling his senses, he remained as a servant. He remained as a servant. Unless and until one is a servant of his senses, there is no chance for him to come to the point of surrendering to Vishnu, self-satisfaction, and all that is coming as a result of pure devotional service. So we see this is an example of asuric life. Atheistic can advance materially and create an extremely comfortable situation for the senses. But because they are controlled by the senses, they cannot be satisfied. This is the effect of modern civilization. Materialists are very much advanced in enjoying money and women. Yet dissatisfaction prevails within human society because human society cannot be happy and peaceful without Krishna consciousness. As far as material sense gratification is concerned, materialists may go on increasing their enjoyment as far as they can imagine, but because people in such material condition are servants of their senses, they cannot be satisfied. Hiranyakashipu was a vivid example of this dissatisfied state of humanity. So,
when one is envious of demigods who represent the Supreme Personality of Godhead of the Vedas, which give all knowledge of the cows, Brahmanas, Vaishnavas, and religious principles, and ultimately of me, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he and his civilization will be vanquished without delay. Here is the indication that how one should use all the benedictions that they receive for the benefit of giving, disseminating the knowledge of the Absolute Truth to the people in general, to protect the cows and Brahmanas, Vaishnavas, and propagating the religious principles regarding the surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then and then the civilization will be happy. Prahlad was one of the four sons of Hiranyakashipu, but he is quite outstanding from the rest. And we see that when Hiranyakashipu was very much fond of his son to be trained up in the demoniac ways of life, become the best of the demons like himself, but he would himself would not consider second to anybody, how does he want his son to be superior even in demoniac nature? But nonetheless, Prahlad rejects all the teachings of the materialistic way of life. So we see that when Hiranyakashipu teases the great devotee Prahlad, his own son, who is peaceful and sober and who has no enemy, Krishna is consoling the demigods who are praying that I will kill Hiranyakashipu immediately despite the benedictions of Brahma. This is the resolve of the Absolute Truth. It cannot be turned over. So, thus the demigods were pacified. They went and they're thinking that because the Supreme Lord told Hiranyakashipu is dead, they were considering him as dead, and they became fearless. They became fearless. Prahlad's quality is greatly appreciated for teaching Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada introduced Prahlad's teachings right from the very beginning, because this is the foundation of Krishna consciousness. It gives, it establishes the principles of Krishna consciousness and the practicality of Krishna consciousness. So, we will concentrate on those teachings through the dealings of the father and the son. This is the main topic of today. Srila Prabhupada writes, Yasyasti Bhaktir Bhagavati Akinchana Sarva Gunai Tatra Samasati Sudaha Harav Abhaktasya Kuto Mahat Guna Mano Rathena Asati Dhavato Bhai. In one who has unflinching devotional
faith in Krishna, all the good qualities of Krishna and the demigods are constantly manifest. This is spoken in Srimad Bhagavatam. While on the other hand, if one is not a devotee, there are no good qualities because he is always resorting to the external energy and he is always going away from the absolute truth. The praise of Prahlad Maharaj, even by Narad Muni, also asserts the same thing. There are innumerable qualities that Narad Muni is describing. The qualities of Prahlad Maharaj, the son of Hiranyakashipu, are that he was completely cultured as qualified Brahman, having very good character and being determined to understand the absolute truth. He had full control of his senses and mind. Like the super soul, he was kind to every living entity and was the best friend of everyone. To respectable persons, he was acted exactly like a menial servant, and to the poor, he was like a father. To his equals, he was attached like a sympathetic brother, and he considered his teachers, spiritual masters, and older god brothers to be as good as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He was completely free from unnatural pride that might have arisen from his good education, riches, beauty, aristocracy, and so on. Although Prahlad Maharaj was born in a family of asuras, he himself was not an asura, but a great devotee of Lord Vishnu. Unlike the other asuras, he was never envious of Vaishnavas. He was not agitated when put into danger, and he was neither directly nor indirectly interested in the furtive activities described in the Vedas. Indeed, he considered everything material to be useless, and therefore he was completely devoid of material desires. He always controlled his senses and like air, and being of steady intelligence and determination, he subdued all his lusty desires. These are the qualities, some of the qualities, Srila Prabhupada says, are described of Prahlad Maharaj. He says, O King, Prahlad Maharaj's good qualities are still glorified by the learned saints and Vaishnavas, as all good qualities are always found existing in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They also exist forever in his devotees, Prahlad Maharaj. So, we see these good qualities are the concomitant result or byproducts of pure devotional service. They are not to be manufactured. Mayavadis may manufacture. Impersonalists may have all the 26 qualities described as tatastha lakshan, means marginal perfections, being a marginal energy. But one is lacking, that is the surrender to Lord Krishna, that is the swarupa lakshan will not there. So, these qualities are supposed to be, you know, seen through the eyes of a devotee, whether the soul is surrendered to Krishna or not. Then and then it is worth associating for anybody. But on the other behalf, a Vaishnava, a devotee, would respect every other, including Mayavadi and impersonalists. There are a lot of such people come to have darshan of Lord Krishna, whatever their belief is. But we respect, we humbly guide them and give them prasad, and that's about it. But we don't listen, we don't try to acquire knowledge from them, because it's devoid of surrender to Krishna, then it is not worth it. Prahlad Maharaj was an Uttam Adhikari, Mahabhagavat, that is the claim by Narad Muni himself. And being the first class devotee, we need to look into the standard through which we can enumerate that who is a Mahabhagavat. As we say, the Swarupa Lakshan is surrender to Krishna. So, Swarupa Lakshan supersedes the other Tatastha Lakshan. So, however imperfectly one may be in his external behavior, but if he is a soul surrender to Krishna, then we must respect. Give fully respect. That is the verdict of Upadeshamrita through Rupa Goswami. That we do not find external faults in Vaishnava. That is to be overlooked. But regardless, here we get more clarification of Mahabhagavat in Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Leela, 8th chapter, 274th verse. It's between the conversation of Ramananda Roy and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Ramananda Roy is so inspired by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and he accepts him. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, therefore he surrenders to him. But yet, he wants to clarify the characteristics of Mahabhagavata. So he is asking very humbly to clarify. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in response tells this particular verse that sthavara jangama dekhe na dekhe taramurti sarvatra hai nija ishta devi stuti. A fully Krishna conscious person, although situated in this material world, does not see anything but Krishna anywhere and everywhere. This is the sign of a Mahabhagavat. A Mahabhagavat sees Krishna everywhere because of his attitude of pure love for Krishna. This is also confirmed in Brahma Samhita by Brahma telling Premanjana Charita Bhakti Vilochanena Santa Sadeva Radeshu Vilokayanti Yam Chyama Sundaram Achintya Gunasvarupam Govinda Madhi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. I worship the primal Lord Govinda, who is always seen by the devotees, whose eyes are anointed with the pulp of love. He is seen in his eternal form as Shyam Sundar, situated within the heart of the devotees. This is the meaning of Ishtadev. Ishtadev is Kurti. To get reminded of our Ishtadev at every moment, wherever we are. Radha Chandra is our Ishtadev for his con in Vrindavan, at least. Attracting so many devotees from other yatras. Everybody wants to push them themselves on the altar of Radha Shyam Sundar. It's a natural inclination. But if Radha Shyam Sundar is really the Ishtadev, then are we developing the sense that sarvatra hoy nija Ishtadev sthuti? We have to take this everywhere. This attitude of seeing Radha Shyam Sundar everywhere. They are not simply murtiman. They should replace the seat of Paramatma in our heart. So therefore, wherever we go, we carry them. And because all our activities are surrendered to Krishna in anywhere and any form, then they remain our most worshipable deity if we serve them in their consciousness. Whatever we do, whatever we eat, wherever we are, we perform all these activities by surrendering nature to them. So we must carry this purna or inspiration or their presence everywhere. There is also one word that has been utilized for explaining the exalted nature of Prahlad Maharaj, that he was a Suvrata. The devotee must be a Suvrata. In this text, Yudhisthira is asking, Devarshi etad ichhamo viditum tava Suvrata yadatmajaya suddhaya pitadat sadave vyadam. You know, Hiranyakashipu, even though father, but he became so much inimical with Prahlad because he happened to be the devotee. The pure devotee, not an ordinary devotee, but pure devotee who was his match. So he chastised so much. So Yudhisthira Maharaj had a little inquisitiveness. In ordinary circumstances, those who are materially afflicted, everybody, but they develop natural fondness for their kids. They are attached. They have some sort of love. But this guy who is the proprietor of all the material universes, he claimed, he acquired by his so-called materialistic prowess that came as benediction from Brahma. How come he lost that fine sentiment of ordinary people to love their kids? And he ostracized Prahlad Maharaj to such an extent that he didn't have even a heart for his own blood. Maharaj Yudhisthira said, O best of the saints amongst the demigods, O best of the spiritual leaders, how did Hiranyakashipu give so much trouble to Prahlad Maharaj, the pure and exalted saint, although Prahlad was his own son? I want to know about this subject from you. And Srila Prabhupada is giving a beautiful purport that to know about the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the characteristics of his pure devotee, one must inquire from the authorities like Devarshi Narad. One cannot inquire about transcendental subject matters from a layman. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, by Kapil Dev to his mother Devaki, Satam Prasanga Mamavi Sambhira Bhavanti Rasadana Rasayana Katha Tajyoshanavam Apavardha Vartamani Shraddharati Bhakti Anukhati. In the association of pure devotees, where the glorification of the Lord is properly heard through the ear and the mellows are poured down to the heart, then and then that strength of the Supreme Personality of Godhead will invoke. Required or appropriate faith to understand
that transcendental aspect of the Supreme Lord, then attraction will be cultivated and which will manifest in pure devotional service. Generally in our mixed nature, we have three kinds of faith. But Kapil Dev is talking to his mother for a particular faith that invokes bhakti. And that is coming through the association of pure devotees. And Prahlad Maharaj in his teaching to his father, you know, who is the demon, but he was so fearless that he establishes the same fact that we will look into. What it is here, that if such oral reception is given in the assembly of Vaishnavas, you know, the requisite faith that involves pure devotional service will be generated. And then when one is attracted to strengthen his faith in the association of the devotees, he will enter into pure devotional service. He will enter into pure devotional service. So, here Narad Muni is addressed as Suvrata. Su means good and Vrata means vow. Thus the word Suvrata refers to a person who has nothing to do with the material world, which is always bad. It means materialistic are having bad vows. Purushottamas has just left. Past. We should evaluate on this definition that were we Suvratas? Did we take a very good vow to inculcate pure devotional service? Nothing to do with the material world? So next time we should remember this fact. Take such a vow that will be a Suvrata. Nothing of the nature of material way. So, one cannot understand anything spiritual from a materialistic scholar fucked up with academic knowledge. It's only pure devotional. Bhaktya mama vijana pi javanashchat etatata tato ma tattato gyatva vishate tadantaram. Only by undivided devotional service can I be known as I am, standing before you, Arjuna. You're not that only known in truth, but you'll be able to see in truth and you'll be able to enter into my intricate zeros in truth. So, we see, Maharaj Yudhisthira is inquiring that how was it possible for a father to be so violent towards an exalted son who was obedient, well-behaved and respectful to his father? O Brahman, O Master, I have never heard of such a contradiction of an affectionate father punishing his noble son with the intention of killing him. Kindly dissipate our doubt in this regard. So, Prahlad Maharaj, the saintly son of Hrishikesh, is now being coming into the picture of action. Prahlad was already educated in devotional life. But when his father sent him to those two sons of Sukracharya to be educated, they accepted him at their school along with the other sons of the Asuras. An educated has been sent to an institution for what they call decoding the education, or to be brainwashed. Somehow Srila Prabhupada was all in favor of instituting Gurukul system in order to
never allowed to be brainwashed in the first place. The kid should never be allowed to be brainwashed in the first place. But seeing the situation, parents are materialistic. They are not of the pure trend. They have come through their different evolutionary past activity and some previous unknown merits of pure devotional service, however little they might have done. But it is fructifying to come into Krishna consciousness. Yet the backhold or the impression of the materialistic life that they have already entered hesitate to view their children in Gurukul system. And because both the teaching staff, not the education itself, but the materially minded teachers and such encouragement by even materially minded parents, even though they try to put by understanding but not fully committing, the results were disastrous. It doesn't mean that Gurukul system should be condemned. But the main purpose here was that in Kali Yuga especially, it is extremely difficult, where the entire atmosphere is demoniac. Every school virtually is the brainwashing institute. Means Krishna consciousness is not the subject. While in our Gurukul system, Krishna consciousness is the primary subject. But let's see how, as a devotee, Prahlad Maharaj, even though he was educated right from the womb of his mother by Narad Muni, yet he complies. Means this is an extreme from the highest, yet he is compliant to go to the school of a materialistic nature. And because he was a Mahabhagavat, the results were quite matching and superior to be proven over the most demoniac nature. In the beginning of the Gurukul system, even though our devotees try to carry out the orders to their best of the capacity, but somewhere totally disastrous, yet there was an effort to inculcate Krishna consciousness in children for several years. Children were proven when the demoniac nature fall upon the community like New Vrindavan and other places, where the devotees were forced to send their children to public school. In several years consecutive after that, those who were trained in Krishna consciousness proved themselves to be at least two standards higher and better quality than the public school. So we get a glimpse of success. So it is not extraordinary for a Mahabhagavat to overcome such a demoniac force like Hare Krishna. The power is of the Lord, identical with the Lord, and
He is always victorious. The Lord cannot be defeated. No material power can defeat the devotional power. No philosophy can defeat the devotional philosophy of Krishna consciousness. Because the power is invested by the Supreme Lord. Mama Virya Samhita. Mama Virya Samhita means experience my prowess, my strength. One has to experience the strength of the Supreme Personality of God, the power of the Supreme Personality of God, the spiritual power that is available in Satam Prasangam, in the association of yogis. That is available. And Prabhupada, that's why he created international society to give quality association. So we see Hiranyakashipu is asking Prahlad that what did he learn from the school? Prahlad cooperated and went to the Karmi school. He was not hesitant. He was not afraid. So, after some time, the father asked his son, "My dear son, please let me know what have you think it is the best of the all subjects that you have studied from your teachers so far." And Prahlad is responding in a completely shocking way. Srila Prabhupada is fond of this verse very much. Srila Prahlada Vaja, "Tat sadhu manye asurvarya dehinam sada samudva adhitya asat graha hitvatma patam graha andakupam vanam gatur yad harimashrayet." Prahlada Maharaj replied, "O best of the asuras, my father, the best of the demons, as far as I have learned from my spiritual master, any person who has accepted a temporary body and a temporary household life is certainly embraced by the anxiety because of having fallen in a dark well. Well, there is no water, but only suffering. One should give up this position and go to the forest. More clearly, one should go to Vrindavan, where only Krishna consciousness is prevalent and should thus take shelter of the Supreme Personality of God. Have you come with this intention of Prahlad Maharaj? Please join his group." Prahlad Maharaj wants us that those who are not interested in materialistic life should come to Vrindavan. Do you think this is the best of the knowledge? Hiranyakashipu is asking, what have you learned? The best of all the subject matters. And this is the subject matter. The best of the knowledge. The absolute knowledge of that one must give up the materialistic life and go to Vrindavan and take full shelter of Lord Shri Krishna. And Prabhupada takes this opportunity to explain that why Hiranyakashipu is so much shocked to hear this answer, which was so bold. He says that because Prahlad has taken shelter of Lord Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the cause of all causes, all results of the education, which brings one to the knowledge of the Absolute, has been already endowed in him. His character and everything was exemplified, and he exhibited by his qualities and behavior. So why should he be afraid of exposing that truth as the best subject matter? He is bold. Krishna consciousness is pervading within and without of Prahlad Maharaj. Everywhere. So why should he be afraid? Even though he is a 5-year-old kid. So all the good qualities of all the demigods are going to reside in him. And Hiranyakashipu thinks himself the king of all the demigods. So what? He's a sum total of all the demigods. So at one part, Prahlad Maharaj is establishing that I'm your match. You are a materialistic master of all the demigods. I'm not less, because all the demigods are also within me. Sarva gunai tatra samasate suraha. All the good qualities of all the demigods are residing in a pure body. And your match. But you are stuck in material life, griha and the kupa, while I'm already out. And you are dissatisfied while I'm self-satisfied. So, by all comparative standards, you see that fearlessness is realized in Prahlad Maharaj. He's totally fearless. And Hiranyakashipu was in anxiety. Udvigna means he is always agitated in the mind, because he is controlled by the senses. He is dissatisfied. He thinks there is a rival and somebody will come and take away his kingdom. He may have conquered all the demigods, but Prahlad Maharaj, by his saintly character, all the demigods were residing in him. Sarva gunai tatra samasate suraha. All the good qualities of all the demigods are embodied in Prahlad Maharaj. So what's the difference? At least Prahlad Maharaj is equal, but he's superior. So the position of a pure devotee is also asamodhva, uttamadhikari especially. A pure devotee, asamodhva. Just like the father, like son. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is asamodhva. There is nobody greater or equal to him. And a devotee, a pure devotee like Prahlad Maharaj, there is nobody greater and equal to him. This is the situation. So, the position of pure devotional service puts both the master and the servant on the equal platform, but that is qualitativeness. And Prahlad Maharaj is well aware of it.
His qualitativeness has become at par. It is Narad Muni is telling about when Prahlad spoke about the path of self-realization in devotional service, thus being faithful to the camp of his father's enemy. Hiranyakashipu, the king of demons, heard Prahlad's words and he laughingly said, "That is the intelligence of children spoiled by the words of the enemy." Because he met his match. He immediately concluded that Prahlad's intelligence has been spoiled by some devotee. So this is further explained that when Hiranyakashipu chastised Prahlad and handed over to Shandan Amarka to treat him harshly. So they were inquisitive as a teacher. "Hey, we are not teaching you like this. Who taught you?" They think education is coming through physical teaching. Physical teaching. Education is coming through. But Prahlad is telling something else, that I have acquired this knowledge through my spiritual master, not you. So it is not a physical process. It is a transcendental process. So there are certain criteria that are being explained, that how one is receiving this transcendental knowledge. That you are asking, what is the source of my knowledge? Let me first offer my respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whose external energy has created the distinction of my friend and my enemy by deluding the intelligence of men. Indeed, I am actually experiencing this. Although I have previously heard of it from authoritative sources, my spiritual master was simply telling, but now it is coming true that you are asking, who taught you? We didn't teach you. We are supposed to teach you this. How come you are telling this story completely contradictory? So, we see it is explained in conversation between these two teachers and Prahlad Maharaj that they also compare what should be the remedy, because to nullify or to brainwash Prahlad, they should use something, some instrument should be there. So they are trying to establish a kind of principle. So that is to be understood a little bit. First of all, when they heard, they became angry. And because Hiranyakashipu also chastised the teachers, "You better teach, otherwise your life is at stake. You know? He should become best of the demons. Why are you teaching?" First of all, he accused, "Why are you teaching some of my enemies stuff? You know? You are not supposed to teach." And they became angry. Prahlad, "Oh, please bring me a stick. This Prahlad is damaging our name and fame. Because of his bad intelligence, he has become like a cinder in the dynasty of the demons. Now he needs to be treated by the fourth of the four kinds of political diplomacy." What is this political diplomacy? called Sama Dhamma Dandin Bhed. Give him material intelligence, like logic, and nullify him. If he is not able to, give him bribe, dam, and keep him quiet. That is another diplomatic way. The third one, danda, give corporal punishment. And if he is not, then bhed means, okay, throw him out. You know, we don't need him. That is called bhed, means separation. What do you call it? Outcast. He is to be rejected. So, they are telling, this rascal Prahlad has appeared like a thorn tree in the forest of sandalwood. The demons themselves call, they are sandalwood. And Prahlad is a thorn tree. To cut down sandalwood tree, an axe is needed. And the wood of the thorn tree is very suitable for the handle of such an axe. We want to usurp the sandalwood, so we have to cut anyway. So what we have to do, we have to use the axe, but axe cannot cut itself. You need a handle. So what we'll do, we'll chop the thorn tree, make its handle, and then usurp the property of Vishnu or kill him, the sandalwood type. Right? So, to cut down the sandalwood tree, an axe is needed, and the wood of the thorn tree is very suitable for the handle of such an axe. Lord Vishnu is the axe for cutting down the sandalwood forest of the family of demons, and this Prahlad is the handle for that axe. So, Prabhupada is using this purport to establish that this is correct. Thorn trees generally grow in deserted place and not in the sandalwood forest. But the seminal Brahmana Sandhya Amartya compared the dynasty of Daitya Hiranyakashipu to a sandalwood forest and compared Prahlad Maharaj to a hard, strong thorn tree that would provide and handle of an axe. They compared Lord Vishnu to an axe itself. An axe alone cannot cut the thorn tree. But it needs a handle which they may be made of the wood of a thorn tree. Thus the thorn tree of a demoniac civilization can be cut to the pieces by the axe of Vishnu Bhakti, devotional service to the Lord Krishna. Sometimes of the members of the demoniac civilization like Prahlad Maharaj may become the handle for the axe to assist Lord Vishnu, and thus the entire forest of the demoniac civilization can be cut to pieces. It's a good allegory. Prahlad, after such chastisement, still cooperated, but kept all within himself. Never showed any opposition. So after the education was almost completed, they were happy to bring Prahlad because he did not create much disturbance. Of course he did during the lunch and break. Anyway, we see Prahlad came to Hiranyakashipu, he fell down at his feet and paid obeisances. As an affectionate father, Hiranyakashipu again immediately picked him up, and he was showering blessings because he did not get any bad report of Prahlad, so he took it for granted. What a nice composer, a calm sad saint, very deep before the storm strikes. You know? Let's see how the storm is coming. You know? So he was patting his child, embracing him with both arms. A father naturally feels happy to embrace his son, and Hiranyakashipu became very, very happy in this way. Narada Muni continued, "My dear king, it is still." Hiranyakashipu seated Prahlad on his lap and began to smell his head with affectionate tears gliding from his eyes and moistening the child's smiling face. He spoke to his son as follows: "My dear Prahlad, my dear son, O long-lived one, for so much time you have heard many things from your teachers. Now please repeat to me whatever you think is the best of that knowledge." And Prahlad smashed. Shravanam kirtanam vishnu smaranam pada sevanam archanam vandanam dasyam sakhyam atmanivedanam iti punsadita vishnu bhaktisse navalakshana kriyata bhagavatadhyatannanye aditam mutam. Prahlad Maharaj said, "Hearing and chanting about the transcendental holy name, form, qualities, paraphernalia and pastimes of Lord Vishnu, remembering them, serving the Lord's feet of Lord, offering the Lord respectful worship with the 16 types of paraphernalia, offering prayers to the Lord, becoming His servant, considering the Lord's one's best friend and surrendering everything unto Him, in other words, serving Him with the body, mind and words. These 9 processes are accepted as pure devotional service. One who has dedicated his life to the service of Krishna through these 9 methods should be understood to be the most learned person, for he has acquired complete knowledge." One who has acquired complete knowledge. For them, these 9 methods are the qualifying processes to acquire complete knowledge. One must have undergone this 9 process. So Sri Prabhupada explains each and every item so elaborately, that is the foundation of this movement. And we see as far as Prahlad Maharaj epitomized the process of smaranam, the principle of smaranam, that he was able to remember Lord Krishna at any place and every place, in each and every circumstances. After one regularly performs the process of hearing and chanting, and after the core of one's heart is cleansed, smaranam is recommended, he will be able to remember after properly heard and chanted, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So, Sukadeva Goswami is telling Parikshit Maharaj that smaranam can be only done with the resultant action that is coming as a result of shravanam and kirtanam. Etanya vidyamananam ichchatam patuto bhayam yoginam nrupan nirnitam harer namam kirtanam. Okay, for the great yogis who have completely renounced all material connections, for those who desire all material enjoyment, and for those who are self-satisfied by the deeds of transcendental knowledge, constant chanting of the holy name of the Lord is recommended. Ichchatam akuto bhayam. If one wants to become fearless, this bhaya is a factor that is created by ignorance, which is most predominant of material energy and the mode of tamogun. Everything in the material world is permeated by ignorance so much that to acquire knowledge from it is difficult. The reality. So, that makes one fear. Ignorance of the reality cannot be accepted by a pure living entity. The living entity, the soul, which is part and parcel, by its nature, is conscious particle. A conscious particle is facing a contradictory nature of ignorance. Do you think it's going to tolerate it? Only if he is having an envious nature, he will be put into such condition. That even though it is intolerable, yet he will be allured to external phantasmagoria, memoria, external opulences of material energy. And he will be made to understand that it is real. But intrinsically, he remains fearful because it is temporary, not permanent. So those experience of temporality, even though it is real, they are going to cheat him. And being cheated from time to time, from time immemorial, since 8.4 million seasons of life, how many times we have been cheated by each and every experience of our five senses? So, fear becomes inherent. And we cannot forget fear. We may forget ourselves, that is alright, but we cannot forget fear. But those who want to become fearless by acquisition of proper knowledge, which is coming through Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, Pada Sevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakshanam, Atmanivedanam, the 8-9 processes. So, we must see that it is confirmed by the great yogis, it is concluded, it has been asserted conclusively that yoginam nirnirmitam. My dear king, it has been thus told for definite that Hare Naman Kirtanam must be performed. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So, you know, Kashyapu becomes angry. And he chastised Chanda. He was alone, his brother was away somewhere. And Shukracharya was also away. So, he said, he pleaded not guilty. And he says something very extraordinary, that the son of Shukracharya, Hiranyakashipu's spiritual master, said, "O enemy of King Indra, O king, whatever your son Prahlad has said was not taught to him by me or anyone else. His spontaneous devotional service has naturally developed in him. Therefore, please give up your anger and do not unnecessarily accuse us. It is not good to insult a Brahman in this way." Wow. Because he spoke something of an absolute nature, that such divine knowledge of pure devotional service that makes Prahlad fearless has not come from any source. It was naturally coming from his previous activities of devotional service. He did not acquire in this material world. The spiritual knowledge is not acquired by material world or through the material world. It is coming down from the spiritual sky, but it should be carefully handed over from the disciplic succession or through the disciplic succession from the spiritual master to his disciple and carried forward. Gorokera prema dhana harinama sankirta. It is an import of Harinam from Golok Vrindavan. So, they were fighting. Hiranyakashipu and son of Sukracharya. And he was bold enough to tell that it is not good to insult a Brahman in this way. Accidentally he is speaking the truth. And one should not insult a Brahman. So Hiranyakashipu turned over to Prahlad and tells him, rascal, see what your teacher is telling? He has not taught you. So where did you get it? If you have not received this education from your teachers, where have you gotten it? So he is taking risk to hear something most important about acquiring knowledge. These three verses of Prahlad Maharaj are extremely important to establish pure universal service into the heart of a devotee. Prahlad Maharaj starts with Matinna Krishne Svataha Padatova Vithopadhyar Grahapitana Andhai Adanta Bodhi Vishadanta Mishram Punah Punash Charitam Charitanam. Prahlad Maharaj replied, because of their uncontrolled senses, persons too addicted to the materialistic life make progress towards hellish condition and repeatedly chew which has already been chewed. Their inclination towards Krishna are never aroused, either by instructions of others or by their own effort or by the combination of both. So Prahlad Maharaj is telling that this transcendental knowledge is not self-inductive, neither it can be obtained by help of other friends, neither it can be a resolution through United Nations. It cannot come. Because all these whose senses are unbridled, they end up in the activity which is always material. They can't have any sense of spirituality. For the sum total of all, source of all sources, the cause of all causes is Krishna. To establish Madhi means to think in intelligence. It is extremely difficult for those who have uncontrolled sense. So, why? Natevdu Svapatim Hivishno Durashayaya Bahirantamani Andhayatha Andai Upaniyamana Tepishatandra Urudamni Baddha. This verse is also so much important that why the intelligence to think about Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, does not arise? Because they do not know their self-interest either. First of all, they don't have controlled senses. Second thing, they don't have the goal. Their swarthagati means ultimate selfishness. Persons who are strongly entrapped by the consciousness of enjoying material life and who have therefore accepted as their leader or a guru similar blind men attached to external sense objects cannot understand that the goal of life is to return home, back home to Godhead, and engage in the service of Vishnu. As the blind man guided by another blind man misses the right path and falls into a ditch, Materialistic attachment led by another materially attachment are bound by the ropes of fruitive labor, which are made of very strong cords, and they continue again and again in the materialistic life, suffering the threefold misery. Means he is declaring that you are a sufferer, but you are not giving up because you have been blinded. You are the leader of the blind. You yourself are blind. So everybody is going to reach. So how are you going to know that the ultimate goal of life is to satisfy Lord Krishna? Who is the prime cause of all causes? And why the consciousness or the intelligence, Krishna conscious intelligence, is not established? Matimna Krishna. Or how can it be established? It is said here. Meta matimtava purugramandri. Sprashanti anartha apogamam yadartha mahiyasam padarajo abhishekam nishkinchananam napunitajavat. Unless they smear upon their bodies the dust of the lotus feet of a Vaishnava, completely freed from material contamination, persons very much inclined towards materialistic life cannot be attached to the lotus feet of the Lord, who is glorified for his uncommon activities. Only by becoming Krishna conscious and taking shelter at the lotus feet of the Lord, in this way can one be freed from the materialistic contamination. Unless and until they smear the dust of a pure devotee on their head, they will never get any inclination to worship the Supreme Personality of God. So, that means if one is not trying to take this path of Krishna consciousness, he'll be still under the category of a So we see how Prahlad Maharaj fearlessly establishes the fact by his teaching that is becoming the backbone. For the preaching is the essence in Krishna consciousness. And if we follow Prahlad Maharaj's example, the purity becomes the force. Srila Prabhupada explained in his books with the preaching and with purity, therefore they are the basis. So utilize his con and its facility to propagate Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Throughout the world, wherever there is any corner or nook still remaining, Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Anybody has any question or comment?
Good time.
Wow, I again broke the record. Thank you very much. Anybody has any question? Yes? You, huh? First of all, our practical progress in spiritual life goes with the principle of utsaha nishchaya dhairya satta karma pravartana. We have to cultivate all the activities with enthusiasm,
with full determination to the principles of a pure bhakti established by pure devotees like Prahlad Maharaj, and it's been descending to the cyclic succession, then have all the patience with tolerance or the inconveniences of the bodily conception of life. When we are in Vrindavan, never have a second intention to give it up. It's not an accidental thing. But if we have not pure desire to cultivate the ever residential attitude, the residential attitude in Vrindavan, the Vishaya Chariya Serasima Mukhe Golo Hari, we have to give up the desire of sense gratification. Then we'll be able to see the real Vrindavan or the filling of real Vrindavan. But our process is practically guided for that purpose. Usaha, Nishaya, Dheya, Tattva Karma, Pravatana, Sangatyata, Sato Vritti, Shadri, Bhakti, Prasidyati. It's a guaranteed process. So we should never give up those principles in our life and try to take opportunity whenever it comes before us as an opportunity. So cultivate that aspect. After all, the first generation is already getting retired and invalid. But at least we can have this spirit of devotion flaming. So whenever the opportunity comes, we realize it. It will make us progress. What do you think? All right. Any other? Get the mic. Associate with the devotees, be faithful to your service, and always smarana, increase the smarana aspect, because it's a practical thing that we have to cultivate after properly hearing and chanting. We have to carry it forward to the remembrance aspect. Right? So this is the way it has been given. Nothing new. All right. Thank you very much, Mr. Prabhupada.